Good morning. A lot of chaos going on out here today. In the churches, Satan's real busy, as we see. So, it's not good. My thoughts on 9/11, about the tragedy that happened 10 years ago, is unbelievable. But when you kick God out of your schools and out of your churches and out of your colleges, and you tell him to get away and go away and stay away, what do you expect? When the Lord says to, when you pray to keep us from the evil one, that's what he says to pray for, because Satan's right there ready to attack at any given moment. So as we see what happened there over a period of time, the enemy finally got its way with the United States of America. But it's over a long period of time. Because I remember 20 years ago, or before that even took place, it wasn't bad. But as you see, gradually, year after year, decade after decade, it got gradually worse until it built up to this catastrophe. So my prayer is for the families that had to endure that horrific scene. And Father, I just pray right now for all the families that still endure that horror. We're blessed to be here today, Lord. We're blessed to have the Word of God be presented. Lord, I just pray for everybody's family here today, Lord. Themselves and rely on you. It's not easy to do, but it's something that we need to do. We need to pray about. We need to be there for each other. So I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're looking at ultimate questions to God and about God and His Word. Ultimate questions we have about our health, our financial situations, or our job, our family, or our future. Everybody questions these in their lives, what they're going to do, what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, where they're going to go, where they're going to end up, and what their retirement plans are. But if we ask this one question, but our greatest question is about God and our relationship with Him. Nothing in life is more important than this. Good health, financial stability, secure employment, and a content family are all hopeful future, are all good, and it's all something that people want. Yet even these are temporary and even pointless unless you have a living relationship with the Creator, with God, and that is clear and certain, and that will last forever. So we ask the question, if God does not exist, searching for Him is pointless. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is God. While it is impossible to prove God in a mathematical sense, the evidence is very convincing. Take the existence of the universe. To call a result of an accident or a Big Bang theory answers no questions. The same where, for instance, did the raw materials come from? Not even a Big Bang can make something out of nothing. If we look at these professors and scientists, which God calls complete fools, they say that something out of nothing made everything. Now, how is that possible? How does the heavens, the earth, the sea, the land, how does absolutely nothing, I mean, did it have a distinct time when it was going to make everything, or did it just, I mean, it just all appeared? All theories are fragile. The only satisfactory explanation is when God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our world is not a random result of a gigantic fluke. The worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. Creation had a beginning, and it was God who brought it into being. For the Lord said, He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. This is reinforced in the amazing order and design seen everywhere by the universal laws, which hold everything together, from the vastness of our outer space to microscopic organisms. But design demands a designer. I like to say, if there was a watch, there was a watchmaker. And God is both. God made the world and all things therein, seeing He is the Lord of heaven and in earth. The strongest creation evidence is man himself, us the people. Unlike other living creatures, man has something that we call a personality. He makes choices, he's intelligent, he has a conscience, and he knows right from wrong. That's interesting about saying something is made out of nothing. How does male and female, if they just happen, we have two arms, we have two eyes, we have two ears, we have a head, we have a brain, we can speak. All this just occurred. I mean, it's unbelievable. But the Creator made the seeing eye, the hearing ear. He is capable of love and compassion. If you think about it, each and every one of us in our hearts have the capability of loving, and we have compassion on others. Above all, He has an instinct to worship. What are we doing here today? We have the instinct to get out of bed, take a shower, put clothes on, and come to church. That's the instinct of our nature, that's what we want to do. Why? Because God created us for this purpose. But we have a choice if we want to do this or not. But He gives us the choice. He created us with that choice. Where did He get these qualities? Neither evolution nor an avalanche of accidents could have produced them. The clearest answer is, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is not an accident. He is fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator of the universe. He created us for His purpose. To have fellowship with Him, to worship Him, to serve Him. And a lot of people nowadays say, well, I can't see God. He's not here. He's not around. He doesn't speak to me. The question is God speaking? The question is vital. Left to ourselves, we are totally ignorant of God. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? God is beyond our understanding, and we need Him to reveal Himself to us. Creation is one of the main ways in which He does so. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. The sheer size of the universe is amazing, balanced variety. Beauty reveal a great deal about God who made it. In creation, God shows His stupendous power, His awesome intelligence, and brilliant imagination. No question about that. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, people walk through the world nowadays and they see the creation, the trees, the leaves, the sky, and God puts this into their heart and their soul and their conscience that you are without excuse not to believe that there's a God. So when they take their stubborn mind and thought process that they're going to just not take anything with them when they die, and they're going to be an atheist when they die, and they don't believe in God, and they're just here, they're damning themselves. Because you are without excuse. When we communicate with another, we rely heavily on words. When you talk to somebody, we rely on words communicating to one another, right? God also speaks to men through words. The words of the Bible, if we think about it, nearly 4,000 times in the Old Testament, God speaks to people. 500 times alone in the first five books of the Bible, God speaks to people. You will find phrases like the Lord spoke, the Lord commanded, and the Lord said. This is why it is claimed Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's how the Bible was written, exactly. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of these people out there say, oh, the Bible was written by a bunch of old men. You know, I the Lord put this in my mind is it is impossible. You could take all the Einsteins in the world and line them up, and nobody could write the Bible. It's just impossible. This is absolutely impossible. There's not a chance. The smartest people in the world, the brilliant scientists, you can't come up with the wording which God's Holy Spirit moved these people to write the Bible like that. So no doubt it's true. No other literature can we find scores of clear and detailed prophecies made by men claiming to speak from God and later fulfilled to a letter. The odds against this happening is impossible. Then there's the Bible's impact on people's lives. If we think about that, no other book has such a life-changing power than the Holy Bible. Millions of people over thousands of years have proved by personal experience that the law of the Lord is perfect, it is sure, it makes the wise simple, converting the soul. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You go through this life proud and boastful, you'll have no blessings. But if you humble yourself in God's sight, you will be blessed. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. After 2,000 years, no expert in any field disproved a single statement in the Bible. The reason is this: all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, which we should therefore accept not only as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God. This is obviously the next question to be faced. What is God like? Who is God? To acknowledge that God exists is one thing, and to acknowledge Him in the general sense that God speaks to us in creation through the passages of the Bible is another. But we need to know more about God. Who is God? Why did He create us? The Bible gives us many clear and positive answers to this question. Here are some of them. God is personal. He's a personal God. God is not a thing. Power or influence, He thinks, He feels, He desires, and acts in ways that show Him to be a living, personal being. He is not just the man upstairs or a Superman, but He is the Lord God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. God is one. There is only one God. He says, I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, there is no other God. You see people nowadays saying there's gods, many gods, and this God, and just the Greek mythology and all this stuff. I mean, it's just, he clearly states who he is, and he is one God. Yet God has revealed himself as a Trinity of three persons, the Father, the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, each of whom truly, fully are equally God. The Bible speaks of the glory of God, the Father. It says, then the Word, who is Jesus Christ, was God, and it speaks of the Spirit of the Lord, which there is only one God. There are three persons called the Godhead, is who that is. God is a spirit. People think of God as different. They don't know how to interpretate who God is. He's a spirit. He has no physical dimensions. He does not have a body. He does not have any characteristics that can be defined in terms of size and shape. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This means that God is invisible. No man hath seen God at any time and lived. It also means that it is confined to one place. He's not confined to one place at a time, but is everywhere all the time. Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord. Quite apart from anything else, this means that God is fully aware of everything that's going on and what happens everywhere. And that includes not only everything you do and say, but everything that passes through your mind. God is totally aware of it. It's like going about life with a video camera on you at all times till you die. Isn't that amazing? You have a portable or an internal video camera just documenting everything you do and being judged for at one point in your life. And giving an account of everything that you do, say, and act. God holds everybody, Christian, non-Christian, accountable for themselves and what they do down here. God is eternal. God has no beginning and he has no end. The Bible words are from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. There never was a time when God did not exist, and there will never be a time in which he will not exist. God describes himself as one which is and which was and which is to come. I love this. For I am the Lord, I change not. All that God has ever was, still and is, will always be. That is unbelievable. God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, for eternity. God is independent. He does not need us. Every other living being is dependent on people or things. And ultimately on God. But God is totally independent of his creation. He can survive on his own. He is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth life to all and breath in all things. God is holy. He's a holy, holy God. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises. There can be no comparison in the holiness of God. Absolutely not. There is none holy as the Lord, who is utterly without fault or defect. The Bible says of him, thou art of pure eyes, and to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. That's how holy and how pure God is. He can't look upon sin. And this holy God demands holiness from every one of us. His command today is, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, we see nothing but wickedness going on a daily basis. The Lord says judgment will begin in the house of God before anything. So if it's going to begin with us, what do you think is going to happen to these people? They go to hell. You know, as Christians, as we walk and talk and act, we really got to be conscious on what we say and what we do and everything. And what we, you know, filthy communications out of people's mouths. The Lord says you got to be accountable for that. He's holy. You got to watch what you say, how you talk. Be meek. You got to guard the tongue. God is a just God, no doubt about that. The Bible says that the Lord is a God of judgment. And the righteousness and judgment are his habitation of his throne. God is not only our creator and sustainer, he is also our judge. You know what's interesting? We read that, it's like going to court. You go into court and you stand before a judge. And that's equivalent of what's going to happen when we die and stand before the creator of the universe one day. That's the same thing. You're going before a judge. Rewarding and punishing in time and eternity with a justice that is perfect and beyond any appeal or dispute. Wow. You're not going to die and think you're going to get another chance when you go into eternity and dispute the Lord or appeal your sentence. You need to settle out of court is what you need to do. Ask Christ to be your Savior and trust him and be humble and have faith alone in Christ alone to pardon your eternal hell that you deserve. And you think, you know, I've had these thoughts of people that haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. And they stand before the living God, which he says in his word. And there's got to be arguing and disputing and pleading and begging and saying, you got it wrong, God. I'm fine. I'm a great person. I've done many good works down here. Haven't you seen? But to the Lord, they are as filthy rags to the Lord. Right? All your good works are as filthy rags to the Lord. I mean, that's got to be horrifying. You know, we look at 9/11, how horrifying that was. You want to hear a worse or horrifying thing is to stand before God and not be saved. There ain't, let me say this loud and clear, folks. There ain't nothing. That's about a million times the 9/11 is that. And a lot of people go there blind, with no hope of a Savior for their sins. God is perfect. His knowledge is perfect. Neither is there any other creature that is manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him who have to do. God knows everything in the past, present. God knows of everything in the past, present, and future, including our thoughts, our words, our deeds. His wisdom is perfect and utterly beyond our understanding. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God is sovereign. He is the sole and supreme ruler of the universe. And nothing whatsoever is outside of his control. God is in control of everything at all times. Whatsoever the Lord pleased that he did in heaven and in earth. With God there are no accidents and there are no surprises. He writes all the world's history and worketh all things through the counsel of his own will. God does not need advice from anybody or consent from anybody. He chooses. Nor can anyone prevent him from doing what he pleases. No one can stay his hand or say to him, why are you doing that? As an example, if you will, turn to me in Job 38. Now this is great. I love this passage. This is great. Job 38. And before I read it, I'll just set this up for you. You have the creator of the universe with one of his servants, Job, who he created. God created Job. And Job, with all his trials, is going to attempt to talk to God and ask him some questions. It says, after all that Job is trying to talk to God and ask him questions, why, what is going on in his life, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? I'm going to read that again. That's just unbelievable. Who is this? This is God talking to Job. Who darkens counsel by words without knowledge. He's saying, Job, you don't even know what you're talking about. Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. Remember, God never answered any of Job's questions. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. It's almost kind of funny how the Lord kind of put a question mark after surely you know how to create the universe, make the heavens, make the earth. You know everything. Kind of like sticks him a little bit with that, with the question mark. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? Oh, boy. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy as God created the universe. Or who shut in the sea with the doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and the thick darkness a swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set the bars in the doors? And when I said, this far you may come, but no further? Talking about the ocean. And here your proud waves must stop. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? That's some pretty heavy stuff. I'm just in awe of that. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. In his own words, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He says. This does not mean that God cannot do anything. He cannot lie or change or make mistakes or sin, but that he can do anything he wishes consistent with his character. Amen. There are brief sketches of some of the things God has revealed in the Bible about his own nature and character. There are other truths about God in the Bible, and we will look at them later. Though there are many things about him we cannot possibly understand, he doeth great things which are unsearchable, marvelous, things without number. In a sense, we can't find him out, and no amount of human intelligence or reasoning can change that. This should hardly surprise us. If we could understand God, he would be unworthy of our worship. God's ways and our ways are unsearchable. God's ways and our ways are unsearchable. We just need to have faith and trust and live for him. And he will reveal himself to us. Who are we when it comes to that aspect of it? The pressures of problems of living. Everybody has problems out here. Restless search in the meaning and the purpose of life. They want to know why we're here. What is our purpose? We work, we live, we eat, we have homes. We have seen something of who God is, but what about us? Why do we exist? Why are we here? Does human life have any meaning or purpose? You think about that. A lot of my old friends, they're still doing the same thing. Getting drunk, smoking weed. Absolutely no meaning and purpose down here at all. Till they die. And we all know somebody with no meaning and purpose. They could care less about the Bible. They could care less about a God. They could care less about going to church. All they care about is themselves and what can make them happy today. And their needs and their concerns. The first thing to get clear is man does not merely exist. He is more than an accident of accumulations of atoms which happen to fit together. The Bible tells us that he was specifically created by God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, talking about Adam. Male and female created he them. Man is more than a highly developed animal or refined ape. He is different from any other creature in terms of size. Man is minute compared with the sun, the moon, the stars, but God has given him a unique and honored place in this universe. If you think about it, God is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the stars, the moon. But yet he gives us men a unique place down here. He says, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Man became God's personal representative on earth with authority over everything and all creatures. That's amazing. God created the heavens, the earth, and then he created the animals. And then he created us to oversee everything, have dominion over it. My My next message will pick up what went wrong. That's what we'll study next time we come together. We'll find out after God created man how sin was brought into the world and more of the questions that we have. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I think we're going to turn it back over to Phil Winteringham for a closing hymn. I'll close. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for looking at your word and the truths of the Bible. We lift everything up to you now, Lord, and we thank you for this time. Just bless each and every one of us today, Lord. Bless our health. A lot of us are sick down here, Lord, in hospitals, and just be with us. We just lift up this last hymn, Lord, in remembrance of 9/11. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Spacious skies.